الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله the continuation of the series of how to build the Muslim family. Okay, I stop now. We finished the honeymoon, and now we are going to the day-to-day life. And there is a day, and there is a responsibility, and there are going back to the life. What going to constitute this life? How is this relationship going to take place? And the marriage relationship, I mean. And also, what is it that we are in it for? We know that the marriage contract is a commitment, holy commitment, that each one will help the other to be more obedient to Allah. How? That's, inshallah, the second khutbah, the second part of the khutbah that I'm talking about here, or the second time that I'm addressing the issue. And also, what is the environment that you're going to build? So for the new children, that inshallah Allah will provide, or the existing one, how they will be raised, what is it that you are educating them, and what you are training them to do, so you can fulfill your life, the mission of your life. Okay, we found out that in Surah An-Nahl, the verse number 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the framework for all of that. And in Surah An-Nahl, verse 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so ordained. When Allah ordained, command, that means you don't have options. That's the way it is. Like, قل هو الله واحد. Say, Allah is one. There is no chant here. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ Allah ordain. And based on this ayah, there are three things you're supposed to do, positive, and three things negative you're supposed to stay away from. And I started to talk a little bit about the first three, and I'm going to very quickly today, inshallah, go through them again, and try to go very quickly also through the other three, inshallah, so we can finish the khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He's ordaining you in your behavior to be fair and just. And Al-Ihsan is to do your best. And وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَةِ And you be kind to your kins and your relatives and to close one to you. وَيَنْهَى And He forbid. Al-Fahsha, a wrongdoing, it is a type of forbidding. Al-Munkar is this something that rebuked, it is unrecognized or unacceptable. And the third one, which is Al-Baghi. Al-Baghi is the act of rebellion. These three different categories, they are very, very common in our life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidding us from doing it. So, for the first three that you're supposed to do, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ Okay, what is عَدْلِ? Al-Adl basically means that you give everyone that you are in contact with its obligated right according to the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah. And I talked about a little bit detail on this area, and I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has right. The Quran has right. Sayyidina Muhammad has right. Your parents has right. Your children has right. Your neighbors has right. And inshallah, each one of those rights, it will be a subject of discussion, inshallah, in the next khutbahs. And also, al-khalq in general, the creatures, the one who go for hunting and fishing, and he keep killing. He's not killing for protection, or he's not killing for food. He's just killing. Why? Because you are practicing to get more sharper, to be a good shooter. So you are killing living being. Just why? Because it is a moving target. That's not fair. And that's not just, and that's forbidden. Okay, the point that I want to drive today is, if you do not live your life just according to the way that Allah wanted, because that means you're going to have to do it and you're going to have to deliver it regardless if you like it or not, or you want to do it or not. The substitute to that in our life is what? Ittiba' al-hawa. Ittiba' al-hawa, it means what? You will do what's convenient for you. You're only going to do it, you are going to give whomever you are involved with his right or her right, when you are happy with that person or that deity. If you are not happy with him, you are not going to do it. If there is an interest, you will do it. If there is no interest, you are not going to do it. And that's ittiba' al-hawa. And like this, I talked by detail in the last khutbah about how things can be, how all rights can go. If you apply, you yourself, imagine that you are giving everybody his right. Probably the need to spend that much amount of money in law enforcement, security, judges, district attorneys, lawyers, prisons, and all of that. Why? This is a process to handle the world rights. However, if you, and they never solve the problem, but the problem will be solved from the root. And where is the root coming from? Coming from inside. Coming when you sincerely believe that's what you're supposed to do. The second thing that I talked about before is an ihsan. And an ihsan basically is you are doing the best that you can in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Him, not to do what you can. There is a huge difference between the two. I do what I can, that means I will do, I know what is the right thing to do, so I know the rights. But I'm going to do it when I can, how I can, when I can. When it is convenient, I will do it. When I have a money, I will do it. When I have a health, I will do it. When I have a time, I will do it. I am busy now. And every time I am busy now. And we know what is the right thing to do, but we keep postponing. Till death hit us. And it is too late. But what is the ihsan? Ihsan is that you are doing the best that you can now. Or by another word, between you and yourself, when you sit down and ask yourself, did I did what I did? Is that the best that I can do? There is nothing else that I can do better? If you can do that, you are in a state of ihsan. And I hope, inshallah, we all will be this. This trip is a very, very long and very challenging. And it is not easy. As far as I'm concerned, I might be wrong, because you may agree or disagree with me on that. The one who can do the ihsan easy, maybe they are the angels. But a human being, you are a challenge 24/7. You are a challenge 24/7. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all know what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the famous hadith about ihsan. But there is an ayah, a small ayah, I want to share it with you very quick. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Allah asking you, and at the same time confirming. He's saying, how do you expect, if you give the best, that I'm not going to give you the best? What is more for you? What is it the best that you can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And imagine the best that Allah can give you. For what? For giving Him what He doesn't need. Inna Allah ghaniyun 'anil 'alamin. Allah doesn't need any. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. If you do your best, Allah will give you the best. In everything. In the rahmah, in forgiveness, in afu, in. Why? Because you are driving to do the best. Regardless what is the outcome of that best. Regardless of what is the outcome of that. Somebody maybe can give a $5, but he still have $20 in the pocket. and somebody give you $5 and he doesn't have anything left. Two different personality, even the act is the same, $5. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تَخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what's in the heart and what is in the motive. And also, I talked, اللَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. That means when you give the rights, you do your best. And I talked the last time, also part of the obligation or justice that you do is to yourself. You have to give yourself its right. And the basic right for your own self is not to drive it out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. You don't do or say what takes you away from Allah's mercy. Do you think you are fair to yourself when you do that? Definitely not. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. We never been unfair and unjust with them, but they been unfair and unjust to their own sins, their own selves. وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَةِ. وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَةِ, that mean, get the generic qurba or qareeb. Generic meaning of it is the close thing to you. In a lot of time, people think that the qurba is the blood relative. But in reality, not necessary, the word qurba, it does compass more than only the blood relatives. The kins, the in-laws, they are qurba. Even we say father-in-law, we say mother-in-law. Right? Do they have rights? Definitely they have rights. Also qurba, your neighbor, that's a qurba. And also, like I said, by the religion, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُخْوَةً. Regardless, even if we cannot speak the language of each other, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there is a bond in here. And وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. But if we look at those three, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between one and the other, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. But وَآتِ here, he could have said وَذِي الْقُرْبَى. But he said وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. That mean what? When you come to the qurba, I don't want you to be a reactionist. You cannot deal with people to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way that they treat you. Allah subhanahu wa ati the qurba, that means be proactive. You go and deliver and don't worry about anything else. Give your parents the right regardless. Give your sisters and brothers the right regardless. Give your whomever the qurba to you, give them the right regardless. Because in a lot of cases we can say, if they are kind to me, I'm kind to them. And I'm going to be kind to them. I'm not going to be even not kind to them. I'm going to be more kind to them. No, you are reactionist. And unfortunately, in Islam, we don't have reactionist. If you look at the character of a Muslim, cannot be a reactionist. Why? Because simply we cannot afford being reactionist. We don't have this luxury. Let us come to the next three, the other three, inshallah. Allah, وَيَنْهَى. يَنْهَى, that mean forbid. And very quickly, what does the word forbidden mean? Or what is the purpose of it? Inshallah, it will come the time that we will know that there is an attribute to the forbidden, and there are different types of forbidden. Some of the forbidden, a forbid is an act or a say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger commanded us to not to do. Why? Because it is not only harmful to us, but the impact of it is harmful to others. And most of the time, you cannot predict and estimate the consequence of doing it. And in a lot of cases, most of the cases, you cannot do the correction. Like for instance, alcohol, wa la'iyadhu billah. Allah stopped it. forbid us from doing it. If somebody get to the point of being alcoholic, you see the suffering and the pain and to get out of it. But after, if he already killed most of the cell in his brain, his liver and whatever, how are we going to get another one? Lost his job, lost his family, lost. Sometimes you cannot recover. So from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what? Stay out. And they are also kind. Some they are saying, do and don't. Do this and don't do that. And some others, they are saying, what? Don't even stay in the facility where it is possible or it is a possibility that you do and don't. Like what? Like adultery. Don't stay in environment. You don't come and say, I don't do adultery. But you don't go and to be in an environment where adultery can be there or can be available. And you say, I didn't do it or I don't do it. Why? Because it's going to come a moment or it's going to come a time where you're not going to be a turning point. And you will find yourself very, very weak and not able to resist. So what is the best way? The best way is not to exist in this type of environment. You see, and inshallah it will be, I will talk about those by a little bit of detail when the time for them come. But here what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now imagine, we are now talking about a family. We are building the family. And that's what is supposed to constitute the relationship between us, between the person and the spouse, and between the person and the children. And that's what the whole entire, that's what constitutes the life of that person, of this family. The first thing here is what? Al-fahsha. And what is the fahsha? It is a wrongdoing. Wrongdoing. But what does the fahsha mean? Fahsha means it is an act of forbidden that we keep doing it and we keep repeating doing it to the point it came to be. That act of forbidding, it came to be habit. We got so used to do it, it came to be habit. And one time after the other, before you know it, it turned out to be something right will turn out to be wrong, and wrong will turn out to be right. Before you know it. Look, and you will find yourself whatever was right turned out to be wrong. And even sometimes even being sarcastic about some people or even condemning other people, and they are saying, what? Look, that guy doesn't steal. He doesn't understand anything in business. Or that boy or that thing, so he needs to see a shrink. They don't have a girlfriend or they don't have a boyfriend. That is a fahsha. It is a wrongdoing, forbidden, but we did it. And we thought that it is a small in the beginning, but it did flip. Right turned out to be wrong, and wrong turned out to be right. But what is usually the motive for those? Usually the motive for those is the desire for lust and pleasure. Let us go Saturday night. I don't drink, but if you're going to have a beer with the guy, just with the guy, social. Somebody maybe one day can explain to me. Drinking is a drinking. You call it sometimes, I'm a lightly drinker, or I'm a social drinker, or I don't drink, but I don't drink hard. You drink. How it works here? You see the justification? So, the act, we kept repeating, we give a justification to it, it turned out to be habit, turned it right to be wrong, and wrong to be right. And if you go even to the party with a Saturday night or whatever day you go to, and you don't drink and say, no, thank you, I'm going to take some soda, take some juice, hey, don't be the party pooper. See, now you are condemned. That is the first type of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying no. And the most environment, rich environment for that type of sin is what? The habits, cultures, traditions. When you live your right life according to habits, culture, traditions, that's the trap you're going to fall in. And that's what you have to purify your home from. And believe me, all you need for that type of sin, all you need to do is just say no. And you're going to find that people respect that. You can say, I'm coming, okay, maybe for whatever occasion is, but, and you don't drink, and there is, you don't do that. You know, some even people say, when you go, I know that you are a Muslim, don't eat from this, this is pork. People are not condemning you here, but you're going to have the will to do it. But if you want to be one of the guys, you want to blend in, you want to do it this way, hey, who cares? So, very easy to fall on those men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, wake up, away. Why? Because remember, whatever in this last three, al-fahsha'i wal-munkar wal-bagh, they eat alive your iman. And they eat alive your personality. And they eat alive the first three. Whatever goodness you did in the first three. Whatever goodness you did in the first three, they will go, this will eat them. So you cannot do that. You cannot make a beautiful cake and you come and put some dirt on the top of it. But here it is not a dirt, it is a poison. And you can say it is just a little bit. And the cake about that size, how is this going to affect them? No, you are killing everybody and you are the first victim to your own. What is the second, which is the type of forbidden here that Allah forbid us from, is al-munkar. Al-munkar is that the act that you will never find anyone accept. Does it have a certain character? Yes, it has its own character. What is this character? The motive all the time to this act, the motive, is evil. Evil spirit. Desire for harm. And the first one, listen man, I want to just have a good time, don't bug me. Pleasure. But the second one, evil. You have a mean spirit when you are doing it. Revenge. That's the type of it. Destruction. Part of it. To make the long story short, what is usually the motive for that type of crimes or that type of sin? When you lose control and you turn out to be reactionist. If we sit down and see somebody seeking revenge, seek revenge from whom? You seek revenge from somebody harmed you before. You don't go into the street and the first one passing by you say, I want to take revenge here. I know some people do that and they are sick, and may Allah bless us all and heal us all. But revenge here is what? Act of reaction. Act of reaction. Somebody push you and you started to do it. You reacted. In a state of compliant or whatever. See, the best example to about the self-discipline and the self-control here. You see, this surah, in this surah, and in this just the ayah, one ayah, it has the whole life revolve around it. So in Munkar here, like I said, it is you are reactionist. Listen to Sayyidina Yusuf and Sayyidina Yaqub. In his case, what happened? When they came and said, one of his son, the wolf ate him, and they bring the shirt. To make the long story short, he knows they are liars. He knows for fact they are liars. No wolf will eat anything. And he doesn't have even put one little hole on the shirt. That's a very polite wolf. It's not going to happen. So he got overwhelming pain. Not the pain of losing the son, the pain of the assailants. They are his own son. And they are also lying about it. So many dimensions to this. So what he said and respond. Sabran jameelan. I will be patient and I will not complain. I'm not going to complain. Self-discipline. That type of attitude or that type of revenge or that type, I'm just giving one example, that type of sin which is al-munkar can destroy completely your life. Completely can destroy your life. And it is one of the major challenges to your iman and to your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last type, al-baghi. And what is the baghi? إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. And what is the baghi? The baghi is the act of rebellion. Any act of rebellion? No. Rebellion, they are two kind. And they are in Sharia, they have measures. Actually, The first, which is the positive, is not called a baghi, but it's called a corrective actions. Corrective actions. Something going astray, من رأى منكم منكرا, من رأى منكر, فليقومه بيده, فمن لم يستطع فبلسانه, فمن لم يستطع فبقلبه, وهذا أضعف الإيمان. If you see a wrongdoing, you don't turn your back. But you do what? You correct it by hand if you can, if you can't by your heart, by your tongue if you can't by your heart, and that's the weakest form of iman. But how about if you completely turn your back and you are not in the neighborhood? That is a real bad, and it needs a complete different khutbah, inshallah. But usually in that, the rebellion, usually, who we rebellion against? We rebellion against leadership. Usually, we rebellion against leadership. When you rebellion against leadership, in your way, you are discrediting the leadership of doing that. You are trying to discredit this leadership. And they call it competition sometimes, they call it seeking power sometimes, they call it whatever, but that's not attitude of a people. They know that they're gonna die. And they are in each other's life to help each other. And for those, for that type of crime, usually the worst kind of them is fighting for power or leadership out of arrogance, or out of whatever motive is, jealousy, envy, which is all diseases on the heart. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that type of crimes, you should not be involved in it under any circumstances. If you can correct things, that means you are in your heart, you are trying to make improvement, but that doesn't, you cannot make improvement by discrediting somebody else. Okay, one of the best form of democracy on the face of the planet Earth is in the United States. In any given level of election running, how they run the election? I'm not going to worry about how much money they spend. Don't worry about that part now. And if you don't have a money, you don't qualify to anything. Don't worry about it. But basically, I build my case against my opponent by discrediting him. Try to find out something that I can pull them from. Try to say anything. Any skulls in the closet? And they both forgot that they are running for the same goal, to accomplish the same thing. But that type of competition, that it kill it and defeat the purpose of it. See, that type of problem, so this is not justifiable. And especially in the way of abstracting the way of Allah. When you abstract the way of Allah by discrediting, for instance, religious lead or whatever religious establishment or whatever, the issue is big, but the khutbah time is limited. But I want to share with you one thing in this issue. See, one of the major issues, one of the major issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you solve this problem. The problem of competition and the problem of fighting for power. Number one, he came and said what? وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and His Messenger and أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. And who are أُولِي الْأَمْرِ? They are not the powerful. They are not the rich. They are not the one in the positions. They are not the one with the glory. They are the one, أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. They are the knowledgeable that they promote good and fight evil. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ. Or by another word, this is supposed to be the imam that you follow. He is learning, he applies, he is leading the community or leading the society or leading whatever, and everybody following in accordance to the right way. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ. That's order. Right? But we need leaders. Where we need them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, no. I don't want you to worry about that part. About this, that's over your head, number one, and you're going to lose each other in the process. Why? And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَهِبُ الْحُكْمَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ وَيَنْزَعُ الْحُكْمَ مِمَّنْ يَشَاءَ. That's mean the concept of leadership, I am the one who's going to appoint them, not you. يَهِبْ الْحُكْمْ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. And even وَيَنْزَعُ الْحُكْمْ, that means no one will be in power. And he will, by his choice, leave it. He says, Allah يَنْزَع. Allah will take it. He will make the means of doing it. But what we need to do, if I am a member, which is I don't see why you are better than me and why I am better than you, and he is coming and says, both of them, they should not be even be there. I am the one who got it all, and I'm the one if I get this and that. What we have among us here? A poison competition. We are killing each other. We are bleeding. We all bleeding. Energy is gone and nothing happened and nothing accomplished. And we all sinner. So you don't put yourself in that position to start with. Allah saying, I am the one who's going to appoint. So what is my job then? So that type of pressure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away. But what is my job? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبَرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَى. So what is my job then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the leaders. What is my job? Is to work with my brother, regardless who is that brother. Is he lead or is not lead, to do what? Al-birr. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. These are a big, huge task. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you, you need help. Can you imagine, I need your help and you need my help, and we are day and night fighting against each other? What's between us other than hate? How you expect me to help you? And how you expect, I expect you to help me? How it's going to work? Allah, out of His mercy, He said, no. You leave that, I'll take care of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make means for things to develop and to take care. And you will be happy. But you never fight for it. What is my job? تعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. The act of rebellion, that's one of the major things that you have to discipline, teach, enforce, educate, train all the member of your family to not to do. If they are not going to learn at home and they are not going to learn it from you, they are not going to learn it from nowhere else. That's what it is at the beginning and that's what is the end. So, I hope inshallah that we understand that the backbone of the family now is in this ayah in Surah Al-Nahl, which it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. I hope inshallah that we will think about it and we will start to reflect about it, so inshallah we can go back and we can start to see what is our family need, what is it that it can be improved, how we can promote those six concepts, three of them positive and three of them negative, how we're going to do that, and how things going to work out. So let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And we ask Allah to bless our gathering, forgive all our sin, all our mistakes, and all our shortcomings. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be more obedient and to be more better Muslims. And help us to understand the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah in paradise. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. Okay. How we turn those principles to reality. Now we know what it needs to be done. How are those going to be turned into reality? With my whole due respect to everyone, a challenge one way or another. Blinds do not lead blinds. Cannot do that. But you can teach the blind how to live and survive. The first thing you need to do, and I need to do, is to find out where in our heart those three stay. Al-fahsha, the wrongdoing that we got used to them. Okay. The wrongdoing that we got used to. Al-munkar, the one is motivated with evil spirit. And wal-a'udhu billah and al-baghy, the act of rebellion. Look at your life. Look at yourself. And see how that fit with your goal and how what you are doing. And based on that, write them down and start to pick them up one at a time. And start to challenge them one at a time. And this is the first step to be fair and just to yourself. You cannot be fair to others. You cannot be just to others. You cannot give somebody else his right if you don't know what is your right. What is your own right to yourself? Today, brother, I hope that you will do that as an act of just reflection and feeling. Take your time and go to any given hospital. And go to the intensive care unit. They have the best medical help that they can. But no one can feel how they feel. No one can feel their pain. No one ever. When they die, which is we all gonna die. Believe me, we will be forgiving, forgiving, but we will be forgetting a lot more faster than you think. You will be out of the picture completely a lot more faster than you think. And the last thing that I want to say in this khutbah, actually, two things. The first, please, don't disobey Allah for the cause of anyone. The first reaction when you disobey Allah for anyone is whomever you disobey Allah for, he will resent you. Resent you in person. Measure that in everywhere. Your value in the eyes of the one that you disobey Allah to please will go down. Never do it. The second thing that I like to share with you, please observe the adab or the rules of the masjid. When you come to the masjid, especially when the imam is speaking, regardless who is that the imam, no talk. Because that's null immediately, the Friday prayer for that person. So if it happened, so let us help each other. If somebody approach you and talk to you, don't respond to them. The only way we can enforce those is by learning and training. Sometimes we do mistakes, okay? But we have to be very, very careful. We all here in a certain amount of time to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to do it right. That means you cannot, even it gets to the point of some fiqh school, you cannot make your hand occupied by anything while the imam is talking. That means you are not concentrating on them. There are some accidents can happen, there are things can happen which requires either the null of the Friday prayer or, I mean, cancellation, like God forbid, fire or flood or whatever. Or it can be a small things, very minor things, but everything got its own rules. And it is not just lifted to our whims to decide how, what it needs to be done in what. But in general situation, 99% of the things, we really don't have to speak. We don't have to greet each other when we come, we don't have to talk, we don't have to do anything like that. So I hope we will observe this, because if you feel like you get engaged or that, I would highly recommend to you, highly recommend to you, is you finish the Jum'ah prayer with us, but you will do the Dhuhr prayer again, because you already know the Jum'ah prayer. So let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and to bless our souls and give us a brand new start and give us the af and the pardon and help us to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace and in the hereafter we'll be in peace. And inshallah, in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Abad Allah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. Abad Allah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون وآخر الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.